Good afternoon and welcome to Citizens Audit Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene at 1 p.m. Those in attendance through the public link are automatically in listen-only mode. Video today will be presentation viewing only. Citizens Board and Committee meetings are recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. Today's committee meetings are all held on the same Zoom connection to run concurrently. Please do not hang up when the audit committee adjourns so that if you want to participate in the Finance and Investment Committee or the Actuarial and Underwriting Committee, you will have a connection and will not need to reconnect. Thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing the committee. Chairman Knight, may I proceed with roll call?
Yes.
Chairman Knight? Chairman Carlos Brough?
Present.
Governor Carlos Lopez Cantera?
Present.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
I'd like to open the meeting with the approval of the March 2nd, 2021 minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Minutes approved from March 2nd. Joe, would you like to start with the report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Governors. For the record, I'm Joe Martins, the Chief of Internal Audit. Next page, please. I would like to refer you to page 1 of the executive summary, where I provided an overview of audit progress and noted 35% of the projects scheduled for the period have been completed. Since the previous meeting, we finalized 8 engagements, and I highlight, with the Claims Division, we completed an assessment of the effectiveness of the appraisal process. We also provided project support and guidance for the implementation of the claims consultants' opportunities for improvement through delivering a quarterly progress report on claims litigation and 3 targeted advisory reports focusing on claims legal service transfer, the independent adjusters versus full-time employees, and the legal billing transfer. The results from our work was presented to management and is being considered in the development and implementation of revised processes. With the Centerpoint configurations audit, we validated that all configuration settings for the ERP systems are properly configured and provides a strong control environment. Work on the commercial underwriting compliance confirmed that adequate control structure is in place to ensure that commercial lines underwriting activities follow Florida statutes. We currently have 14 engagements in progress spanning across most areas of the organization, including the following audits. We have the cancellation moratorium audit, which looks at billing and accounting processes and controls implemented after Citizens lifted the moratorium placed on policy cancellations during the peak of COVID-19. We have an audit of Citizens Insurance Services, which serves the Citizens internal agency. Next page, please. Which serves the Citizens Insurance Agency for just more than 5,000 policies. We have an audit of the effectiveness of corporate compliance program managed by the compliance officer. We have an evaluation of the payables process and related controls following recently implemented system enhancements. And we will also assess the implementation of system and application logging and monitoring to ensure the appropriate event monitoring is occurring. Next slide, please. An additional 5 audits are planned to commence later in quarter 3. These include audits of the application infrastructure standards and conformance, the clearinghouse, employee benefits, IT service management, and my agency. We also continue to support the State of Florida Auditor General with their audit that's currently in progress. Next slide, please. In respect of control deficiencies, internal audit is tracking 5 observations, of which 1 is of high impact. This item relates to a OFAC audit and focuses mainly on tightening OFAC screening practices throughout the organization. The internal controls team, next slide please. The internal controls team is responsible for maintaining and monitoring citizens' internal control framework. Control self-assessments are performed annually to ensure ongoing evaluation of the control design and control effectiveness within citizens. As of June, 119 primary controls have been identified and recorded. Management control self-assessments are currently in progress for 107 of these primary controls, while 12 of these controls are being refreshed by the internal controls team. The enterprise risk team facilitates, enables, and partners with the business areas to deliver forward-looking and insightful risk assessments. Enterprise risk facilitated and the completion of the 2021 strategic risk assessment with the ELT, and a total of 19 risks were documented and identified for this year. A detailed listing of the 19 risks have been attached as Appendix 1 to the executive dashboard in your packs for your consideration. Enterprise Risk is currently working with the respective ELT members and their staff in identifying and documenting appropriate risk mitigating practices. Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes my report. If there are no questions.
Thank you. Any questions? No? Jennifer? Jennifer Montero, CFO.
Thank you. Behind tab 3 of your books are the materials I'll be referencing. The first document's titled 1Q 2021, Results of Operations and Financial Position. It provides an overview of Citizens' unaudited financial position, including cash flows, invested assets, and surplus, as well as operation results for the period ending March 31st, 2021. While the document titled 1Q 2021, Results of Operations and Financial Position Commentary, provides the commentary, discussion, and analysis of those operating results and financial position. I'll be providing a summary of the information contained within the commentary document. At March 31st, 2021, Citizens held consolidated cash and invested assets of $9 billion, an increase of $300 million from December 31st, 2020. The majority of the increase in cash and invested assets was due to the increase in written premium and the associated positive cash flows. Consolidated surplus at March 31st was $6.5 billion, relatively unchanged from consolidated surplus at December 31st, 2020. Consolidated direct written premium through March 31st, 2021 was $340 million, an increase of $114 million from the same period a year prior, and $45 million greater than budget. An increase in new business and renewal rates, largely within Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, account for the majority of the increase in premium. As of March 31st, consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE related to Hurricane Irma were $2.27 billion, reflecting no change from December 31st, 2020. Of the $2.27 billion of Hurricane Irma ultimate loss in LAE across all three accounts, $936 million is recoverable under Citizens reinsurance contracts with both the FHCF and private reinsurers. Consolidated ultimate losses and LAE related to Hurricane Michael were $150 million as of March 31st, reflecting no change from December 31st, 2020. There are no reinsurance recoverables related to Hurricane Michael as the attachment levels of the reinsurance agreements were not met. During the first quarter of 2021, the consolidated ultimate direct loss in LAE related to the smaller storms that impacted Florida in the latter part of 2020 increased $57 million to $148.2 million as of March 31st. Of this increase, $47.7 million is attributable to Tropical Storm Eta and was driven by a significant increase in the number of late reported claims. There were no reinsurance recoverables related to these 2020 storms, as the attachment levels of the reinsurance arrangements were not met. Current accident year losses in LAE unrelated to hurricanes and sinkholes did not experience meaningful variances from the prior quarter, as development on prior accident year losses in LAE was as expected. Although litigated non-weather water continues to be a dominant driver of loss in LAE activity within the personal lines account, the litigation rate for accident years 18, 19, and 20 continued to show improvement in comparison to accident years 2014 through 2017, with accident year 2021 showing the lowest percentage of litigation rates in recent history. Within the commercial lines account, losses in LAE related to sinkhole claims were relatively unchanged. However, volatility in older non-sinkhole claims have the potential to contribute to material quarterly variances in the reported loss and LAE ratios in future periods. Administrative expenses incurred during the first quarter of 2021 were $36.1 million, or $0.7 million more than the same period in 2020, and $4.8 million less than budget. For the quarter ended March 31st, Citizens' expense ratio was 19.5%, reflecting a 6.1% decrease from the same period in 2020 and a 4.4% decrease compared to budget. Total investment income during the first quarter of 2021 was $57 million, or $11 million less than the same period in 2020, despite a marginal increase in total invested assets. The decrease in investment income was principally driven by decreases in overall interest rates and a decline in net realized gains, as well as a reduction in tax-exempt holdings resulting from the scheduled maturity of certain outstanding bond obligations. With the 2021 reinsurance program in place, together with Citizens' current level of high liquidity financial resources.
Ms. Montero, excuse me for interrupting. Chairman has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ms. Montero, the $900 million in reinsurance that we're entitled to recoup.
Yes.
When will that hit our balance sheet?
It hits our balance sheet as we pay that out. We recoup that. We usually bill on a quarterly basis, sometimes monthly. Depends on how much is outstanding.
Have we gotten a piece of that already?
Yes.
How much? I'm sorry. How's that better?
I know how much is on the books. Let me find out actually how much is recoverable versus how much has already been. I'll have that for you after this meeting.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Sure. I was just summarizing that with the 2021 reinsurance program in place, together with our current level of highly liquid financial resources, Citizens enters the 2021 hurricane season with ample resources to meet the needs of its policyholders. And that completes my report.
Madam Chair.
Any questions? I have one question on the reduction in expenses, the expense ratio reduction. What is that attributable to?
That's attributable to the denominator, which is the premium is the denominator. So as Citizens shrinks in size and our direct written premium goes down, our expense ratio goes up. So as we grow like we are now and that denominator is growing, our expense ratio goes down. But that's what's driving it.
Yeah. I was going to ask the same question. The increased growth in premiums is you haven't paid the expenses against that bulk of money yet. So it skews the numbers.
That's correct.
Temporarily. Okay. So if I may,
yes.
Thank you. What is our, at the end of the second quarter, calendar quarter, how many policies do we now have?
640,000,
and there's 6 months left in the year. And what have we been growing monthly? Net growth rate in policies?
5,000.
5,000 net?
Yes.
That's not that bad. So we're going to end up at 670 to 680,
We're projected year end to be approximately 750.
Okay, so then something's not wrong. We can't be growing net 5,000. We've got to be growing a lot more than net 5,000 a month. Six times five is 30,000. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to, because I thought we were going to end up at 720, 750,000 policies because we calculated that last year.
Chair?
Yes,
Mr. Gilway? Barry Gilway, for the record. I think the confusion is week versus month.
Oh, okay, so 20,000 a month.
Yeah, we're growing currently at the rate of between 5,000 and 6,000 policies net per week.
A week.
So if you just straight line the numbers at 5,000 to 6,000 policies and you start out at 640,000 policies, the latest financial analysis that Jennifer's team did puts us right around 760,000 policies at year end.
And how much money have we made operationally in this fiscal year?
As of March?
Yeah.
On a
$9 million?
Yes, $9 million.
But $9 million, and the issue with the $9 million, as Jennifer just indicated, is that incorporates $47 million?
It was a total of $57 million of adverse development from the 2020 storms.
Right.
Came in. Otherwise, we would have had about 63-ish.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And on a normalized basis, you might have mentioned it, but if you can repeat, what would be an expense ratio, a normalized expense ratio when things are?
About 20%.
About, so.
20 to 22%.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Brian Donovan's
going to come up next. Thank you.
Good morning or good afternoon, Chair and committee members. I'm Brian Donovan, Chief Actuary at Citizens, and I will be addressing, I think it's item 3C in your audit committee materials or 3D in your board book pertaining to a qualification letter for appointed actuary. So this is more of a housekeeping item and it's not an action item. The purpose of this is to keep myself and Citizens in compliance with a change implemented by the NIC in conjunction with the American Academy of Actuaries, the Casualty Actuarial Society, and the Society of Actuaries. In 2010, I was appointed by Citizens Board as the qualified actuary. This means I was appointed to sign off on the year-end reserves that are recorded in Citizens' financial statements. Prior to 2019, the rule was, you know, once the board appoints an actuary, there's no need to discuss it again until there's a change in the appointed actuary. But at the end of 2019, the aforementioned organizations made a change to its rule and now requires that the appointed actuary to provide the appropriate committee and or board documentation that demonstrates that he or she is qualified to be the appointed actuary. Included in the document provided is a formal letter from me addressed to Citizens Board outlining my qualifications. Also included is a brief history of my work experience and the details of how I completed the required continuing education credits in 2020. Bottom line, nothing has changed regarding my qualification to render actuarial loss reserve opinions. The only thing that changed is that all appointed actuaries must now provide this documentation each year to its board. Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Donovan.
Thank you.
External auditor update, Brian Smith, Mike Dees. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Mike? Okay. Welcome.
Good afternoon. This is Brian Smith for the record from Dixon Hughes. I'm a partner in our office in Tampa, Florida, and with me is Mike Dees. He is our audit manager serving Citizens. Our agenda today is a report on the 2020 audits that we completed for Citizens. You'll find that on page 101 of your report. Within our report, we have certain required communications at the completion of our audit. We will go through today just in brief form, certainly stop with any questions. So on May 19th, 2021, we completed our audits of Citizens, both under a statutory basis and under GASB GAAP that was issued the same day. Our report is dated May 19th. Within our required communications, we are required to discuss any new accounting pronouncements that the company adopted during the year.
Excuse me. I can't find the page.
It's under section four.
Tab four.
Right.
And then that. Page, is it, there's several March, May 19th reports. So
it will be titled report to the audit committee.
I just couldn't find the page you referred to.
Report to the audit committee on your tab. Right. It should be the first report.
Report to the audit committee is what I'm looking at. Correct. What page are you referring to?
I'm looking at page two of our report. I believe it's page 101 of the
full deck. Ready when you are. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Brian.
Good. Okay, so within our required communications, we're required to communicate any new accounting new accounting pronouncements adopted during the year. There were none by the company. Also, we're required to communicate any significant estimates in which the company applies within their accounting policies. And Mike is going to walk us through our procedures performed and those significant estimates.
Thank you, Brian. This is Mike Dees for the record. So we had two significant estimates that we identified as part of our audit procedures, the first being the loss reserves. And so as part of those procedures, we engaged the third-party actuary, Merlinos and Associates, and they work with Brian Donovan and the actuarial team to look at the actuarial methodologies and assumptions used in developing the 1231 loss reserve. As well, we look at the data provided by the actuary or provided to the actuary, and we look at claims and loss reserves, and we test those on a sample basis. Brian, I think you wanted to mention ADA as far as the loss reserves is concerned.
Certainly. So Jennifer mentioned in Q1 there was development related to Hurricane ADA, which was a late Q4 event. When management initially closed their books and then filed the annual statement, that event was rather new. And in Q1, Brian Donovan and his team identified new development as roughly $71 million in Q1 from that event. And so we evaluated that to understand, does that have an impact to 2020 for the financial statements we were auditing? We worked with Brian's team. We worked with our external actuaries with Merlinos and evaluated and essentially came to the conclusion that while it was significant development, it was not material to the reserves as a whole. And so that's why you'll see that development in Q1 2021 rather than in 2020's report. So that is in our report that we communicated to the audit committee.
Thanks, Brian. Our second loss for a significant estimate is related to the fair value of investments. In order to test those, we leverage our financial services team who fair value the entire investment portfolio, as well as we take all of the securities as of 12/31 that are in an unrealized loss position, and we compare those to subsequent sales to look for potential other than temporary impairment.
Correct. Other required communications, any identified misstatements. We did not identify any misstatements that are either corrected or uncorrected during our audits. Also, we are pleased to report we had no disagreements with management. That is in our report as well. Lastly, we report on page 7 related to internal controls. We were not engaged to do an audit of internal controls. However, we are required to communicate if we identified any material weaknesses, in which we did not, and that is in our report as well. So that is our report for the 2020 citizens audits. Obviously, this is the first time we've communicated, Aaron, with you and the rest of the committee as new members. I just wanted to fill you in our process. We generally begin our procedures for the audits in the fall and then complete in the May timeframe. So we would be looking for 2021 to begin this fall 2021, our interim and planning procedures. We typically would report our plan for the year in December during the audit committee. So I'll provide that to you in advance, plan for December for our 2021 audit plan, and then we would complete the audit next spring in 2022. That completes our report.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or questions? No? Okay. there any new business? Yes, Ms. Montero.
It's not new business, but it's the answer to Chairman Baruff's question. The recoverables are on an ultimate basis, the 936. So far, we've billed 770 million. 27 million is outstanding. We've collected 745. We do bill quarterly with the last billing. The next billing will be for June. Probably go out in August once we reconcile the June losses, because the reinsurance is recoverable on a paid basis. So the 936 is on an ultimate basis. So as we pay those claims out, we can then bill for recoveries.
Thank you, Ms. Montero. So we've got the bulk of the money back in our bank account.
We do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Any other new business? No? Well, with there being no further business, I will call the audit meeting. I will adjourn the audit meeting. I don't know if that's a record in time, if we're efficient or this is a normal pace, but thank you all for your participation, your reports, and the meeting is adjourned.